Good morning. My name is Jeannie Greenman, and we want to welcome you to Living Hope. We hope that you enjoy our service today. These are the ways that you can get involved in our church. Tonight is Koinonia Night. It's our first one after sabbatical, so you won't want to miss it. We want you to bring your favorite side dish or dessert tonight at 5 o'clock for dinner. Or you can just come at 6 o'clock for worship. On September 18th, we will be starting our next Rooted study. Make sure that you sign up in the Welcome Center so that you can be involved. Have you seen the new floor outside of the church office? Make sure you stop by and take a look. Then remember to go to the church website shop and order your giving blanket. Winter's coming. Have you had a chance to check out our church podcast? It airs on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Go to your favorite podcast platform and search LHCHD or search for it on YouTube. In order to prepare for all of the wonderful events that Pastor Tim has planned for the students, we are going to start doing Runateen year-round. So sign up with Pastor Tim for a Runateen spot and get some help on all of those projects that you've been putting off. On the back of the seat in front of you, there are some QR codes, or they're in the chat on the online service. This is how you can learn more about how to get involved with our church. Here at Living Hope, we believe in taking the next steps in your spiritual walk, and we want to help you do that. So click welcome if you're new to us and you just want to get a little bit more information on us, because we'd love to get some information from you about what you're looking for in a church, what you're interested in, whatever it is that you have to say. Next to the welcome code, you will see a serve code. This is how you get involved in working with one of our ministries. There are so many great opportunities to serve God at our church, and we would love to have you join us in that. If you would like to support Living Hope financially, you'll notice we pass the plates. We also have some black boxes at the back of the sanctuary where you can drop off your tithes and offerings after the service. Or you can scan the give code on the seat back in front of you and make your donation electronically. We want to make sure that everyone is comfortable however they choose to give. Thank you for joining us at Living Hope. We know that we're going to enjoy getting to know you, and we hope that you enjoy getting to know us. Have a great week.
This is Teddy. Say hi, Teddy.
Good morning.
Teddy, have you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go ahead on up. This is Isaac. Say hi, Isaac.
Hi. Good morning.
Isaac, have you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have confessed Jesus as my Lord and my Savior.
Upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Eight 8:30 service, because they're usually having to watch recordings from other services or baptisms. So now they got to be a part of that too. So, how y'all doing this morning? Oh, that was so bad.
My legs are sore.
Your legs are sore. How are we doing this morning? All right. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 3. We are going to talk about what we just saw a little more this morning. Let me just do a couple other things as well. And let me just encourage you guys. I was amazed in the first service. I asked this question. How many of you even know what a podcast is? And most, well, not you, I just said in the first service. Escuchen. But I was surprised. Well over half knew what a podcast was. And then I said, how many of you actually listen to podcasts? And about half. I wanted to faint. And so, and just encourage you with that, with the podcast, we're trying to create and do these things to keep connected with you guys throughout the week. Pastor Tim and Manny and all those guys do a great job with that. As well. And then also, just put on your calendar, September 18th, Rooted. We're going to do our next Rooted series, or Rooted Round, if you want to call it that. That will begin on September 18th. You'll get more information about that up in the next couple of weeks. as well. So I want to strongly encourage you. If you have not done Rooted, let me encourage you to be a part of that. We were going to do it on Wednesday night again. And it's something that we're moving towards in the life of our church as far as the next step in the process of being a part of our church family. So I want to encourage you with that as well. And then again, be back here tonight. It's going to be a full day for me anyway. My day started at 4 o'clock this morning, checking on my brisket that's coming in for y'all tonight. So and making that done. So it's going to be a great day together. I pray you come to be a part of that and enjoy our time together. It's the only time, folks, when we as a church family are together as one big church family. And we even brought in the choir tonight to bring the 8:30 service, and we can help them sing a couple songs. You're going to know the song, so don't panic. And but it's good for you. You guys got to learn to appreciate all kinds of church music, not just the stuff that you can bop and skip and dance to. Amen? Oh, wow, that was weak. Wow. Not for entertainment, folks. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to stop him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me. Jesus answered him, allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John allowed him to be baptized. When Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately, and from the water, the heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time of worship and time of giving and time in your word. And as I pray every week, I pray that I would decrease and you increase. Lord, speak to our hearts and to our minds, not just for information, but for transformation. Make us more like Jesus for your glory and your kingdom. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. I want to start by reading something to you. It's there in your notes. This is from our confession of faith that we use as a doctrinal statement here at our church. It's about baptism, and it says this. Christian baptism is the immersion of a believer in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is an act of obedience symbolizing the believer's faith in a crucified, buried, and risen Savior. The walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. It is a testimony to his faith in the final resurrection of the dead. Being a church ordinance, it is the prerequisite to the privileges of church membership and to the Lord's Supper. You know, every now and then we need to come back and review certain things that we do and answer the question why we do them. And so we'd like to do this every now and then, and we're kind of spending the day between series. We're going to start the book of Ephesians next week to talk about baptism. And I always find it interesting to have this discussion about baptism because especially where we live and especially in Southern California and California in general, we have so many different traditions, we'll call them that, that come through the valley and come into our church. They come from all kinds of religious backgrounds, and so we need to explain why we do what we do, and so you can understand why we do what we do as well. And so we want to do that here this morning and give you a chance to respond to that as well, because I've also had discussions over time where people say, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to be baptized, which is always an interesting discussion to me that we'll talk about more here this morning. But I'll be honest with you right up front. If you're here today and you say you're a follower of Jesus and you have never been baptized, I'm going to say, how are you a follower of Jesus? And so we'll talk about that. And that's not meant to be combative. It's just to make you think about what you say you are as opposed to what your actions say about who you are when we talk about these things. So why baptism? We see Jesus here in Matthew 3. And you can imagine John. This is John the Baptist. And John is familiar with Jesus. They're related. John is Elijah. Come in John the Baptist. Jesus talks about this later on in the Gospels. John's been doing his preaching and ministry, and John the Baptist is one of those radicals. Amen? I mean, he lived out there in the desert, walked around in camel skin, preached basically what we would call an old school turn or burn, and he ate bugs, locusts. Now, I know some of y'all are into that. You be you. And I know there's some place, some stores now where you can even buy them chocolate covered, jalapeno dipped, or whatever you want to call it. But John was fulfilling a role that he had. And so he's sitting there and he's just had a confrontation with the Pharisees, and he basically called out the Pharisees for their faith. And then he, all of a sudden, after that conversation, Jesus comes along and he sees Jesus coming. And Jesus starts walking in the water and basically says, John, you need to baptize me. And John's like, why? I'm not supposed to baptize you. I can't baptize you. The baptism that I offer doesn't do what your baptism will do. My baptism is only for repentance and forgiveness of sin, but your baptism is baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, John knows exactly who Jesus is. He knows Jesus is the Son of God. And so for John, it's a very uncomfortable thing for him to have Jesus ask him to do this. But since he knows that God has asked him to baptize him, he says, I'll do it. And so he does it, and then Jesus is, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit basically drives Jesus from baptism to the wilderness. And in that time, after his baptism, we see the Holy Spirit there. You see the Trinity right there in those verses that we just read. The Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove. You see the entire Trinity just in those verses. So Jesus was baptized. Now, let's keep that in mind as we talk for the next few minutes for those who have never been baptized before. Okay? So, why baptism? Before we get to the why, let me talk about the what. Let me talk about the what. The word baptized is the Greek word baptizo. It means, very simply, to submerge, plunge, or immerse. It means to dip completely. So just to give you a simple example where the word can be used outside of the religious connotation, we often know any of it, you could literally in Greek say, if you had a bowl of soup in front of you, you have your spoon, and you baptize your spoon into the soup, and then you pull it out to get some soup out of the spoon. That's what it means. That's all it means. Dipped, immersed, plunged. Let me put it very simply. The word means to be dunked. That's what it means. It means to be dunked. We dunk here at Living Hope Church. We immerse as the mode of baptism. Why? Because that's what the Bible, we believe, teaches. We see John the Baptist here, and you also see this as well. There's always seems to be water around when it talks about baptism. John the Baptist here, and what we're reading is in the Jordan River. If we go over to Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian official, he's coming along, he accepts the gospel, and he says, why can't I just be baptized right over here? And he's baptized right then and there. You need a body of water in order to be dunked, immersed, plunged. Immersion best portrays the essential meaning of baptism. That's very important to understand. Baptism has served, has several meanings in the New Testament, but its essential meaning was one of union with Christ. There's something that is meant by what we do when we do baptism. It's identifying with Jesus in his death and his burial and his resurrection. Colossians 2:12 says, when you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When we are baptized, well, we just saw with the videos with Isaac and Teddy, it was basically symbolic of identifying with Christ. If you go to some of the more ancient Baptistry sites, that are there, like for instance, there's one in Ephesus, you would see the baptistries, and if we took these steps and we had them face each other, what they did back then is they, in this particular baptistry, is you came in one side of the baptistry, you walked down into the water, you walked under the water, and then you walked up and out the other side on the other side of the steps. It was deep enough that you literally buried, transformed, raised to walk in newness of life. That's the symbol. Baptism is a symbolic gesture of our faith in Christ. It is by immersion. It identifies us with Christ. It says that I am a follower of Jesus. And believers and followers of Jesus are baptized. Amen. Baptism symbolizes our faith in Jesus. It symbolizes who He is, what He's done for us, and our desire to live out this new life that Jesus has given us. It means something. It meant something to Isaac and Teddy. It meant something to me when I did it in 1986. And I pray that it meant something to you when you were baptized, if you have been baptized by immersion. The New Testament shows that people who believed in Christ were then baptized. Now, I get to walk through some water here of history, so don't go glazy-eyed on me, but it's important to understand. What you see in Acts 8, what you see in Acts chapter 2, we'll be there. We don't want to kind of turn there, but you see that Peter preached, and they were baptized. The Ethiopian official heard the gospel and was baptized. It was an immediate response to what God had already done in their life. They didn't say, oh, I accept Jesus and I'm just going to go about my business. They were so transformed by the gospel that they said, wait, I need to be dunked now. I need to be immersed. Baptism is part of identifying with the church. And before I get to that, it's part of the Great Commission. We'll read the Great Commission a little later. Jesus, in his words to the disciples before he ascended to heaven, says this, as you go, make disciples. And he tells us how we're supposed to do that. He says, by hanging out at Starbucks and talking about Jesus all the time. He says, by going to youth group, not unimportant. None of those things are important. Unimportant. He says, no, you do it by baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. That's what you do in youth group and Sunday school and at Starbucks. Amen. And I am with you to the end of the age. So as a church, whose responsibility as a church, our responsibility as an organization, is to fulfill the Great Commission. To go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's part of what we do as a church. It identifies you with the church. Let me just say it this way. I'm trying not to be too, because I get pretty fired up about baptism. I've had so many discussions about baptism over the years, so many weird arguments from people about why they won't do it. None of them have historically, some have, but a lot of them have nothing to do with belief. They all have to do with how they feel about it. Oh, I ain't getting dunked in front of people. That's embarrassing. I won't look cool. Get over yourself. Nobody thinks you look cool now, so there you go. I've had discussions with people who come from other traditions about this, and we'll talk more about that here as we go through this here in a second, but man, there's just all kinds of reasons why people, and then I have people who say they're followers of Jesus, and they've been following Jesus for Christ for a long time, but they've never gotten baptized because they don't want to identify with a church. And so they'll do that, and they won't get baptized. To be a member of our church, you have to be dunked. It identifies you with us as a church. We're Baptists. We took that out of our name, but we're still Baptists. And so for many years, we've done this thing. For many, maybe you've heard this, and I get why we do this. And believe me, I understand all this very well. We used to say, walking an aisle. It's baptism. And I'll talk more about that here in a moment. There is no, folks, and I'm going to get myself into more trouble here. You ready? There is no clear example of infant baptism in the New Testament. Now, I know some of you come from backgrounds where these things are a part of their tradition. And I get it. I talk to them all the time, too. When we do our new member class, quite often one of the topics we discuss most, we don't have to discuss all our doctrines in the new member class. We do end up discussing baptism because we have people who come from many different traditions. Obviously, a lot of them from a Catholic background and that understanding of baptism. So let me just give you a brief history of infant baptism. Because up until about 400 AD, a little before that, if you read all the church fathers after the apostles, you read like Justin Martyr and Tertullian and all these other guys. If you don't know who those are, Google them. They all preached and taught immersion, dunked, as the mode of baptism. All of them. What we practice. Then a guy named Cyprian in Africa came along, and in trying to deal with the issue, a pastoral issue, he began to write that it would be okay to baptize infants. Now, why did he do that? As the idea that you are sinners from your mother's womb, as Scripture says, the idea that you are a sinner when you're born, we call that original sin, was being developed in the early church. Parents were scared. And they were asking all the religious leaders of the time, what happens to my kid? Because the infant mortality rate in the ancient world was very high. And so they were trying to develop something to help parents have peace of mind about where their infant child who may have died in childbirth went when they died. Augustine, however you want to pronounce his name, took this and really developed it out. And because of Augustine's influence on the Western church, it became part of the tradition and dogma of the church. It was even in Augustine's time, not universal. That hadn't happened yet. It was done in spots. Move forward 1,000 years, and some guy named Martin Luther comes along, and the Protestant Reformation. Now, Martin Luther, he came up with this view because he believed that it took faith in order to be baptized. You got to believe in Jesus in order to be baptized. But what he said was, as the Word of God, the Bible, was taught and preached and proclaimed over the infant during the ceremony, the baby is forgiven because the Word, the washing of the water of the Word, cleansed them of original sin. Their belief came as they heard the Word. And I'm trying to keep this very simple at this point. So that was a view. Another reformer was around Luther, a little bit after, a guy named Ulrich Zwingli. Zwingli came along, and they were pretty close to there. They're in Europe, and he came along, and he was what they call reformed theology, and their view is this idea of covenant. And he came along and said that there's, in the covenant, in the old covenant, the symbol of identification to be Jewish was what? Circumcision. So then he came along and he said, well, the symbol of being a part of the community in the New Testament is baptism, for which all the guys said, thank you. And so what happens there, and then John Calvin took Zwingli's view, and he kind of expanded on the four. They believed in belief, but they said this. What they say in Reformed churches, Presbyterian churches, most of them, they say this, that baptism of an infant is the initiation of them into the covenant community of the church, much like circumcision was for Jews back then. And the parents would commit to raise their kids in the church and instruct them, and the church would affirm that too. Now, in Baptist life, we came up with something similar. We call it baby dedication. Now, it's a little deeper in those traditions than what it is, but it's basically the same thing. When parents come up for baby dedication, they say, hey, this is our kid. We want to dedicate him to the Lord. We say, we're going to raise our kid. And we say, as a church, we're going to help them raise their kid in the ways of the Lord. We give them a little Bible, we pray over them, we say, see you in nursery. Amen, right? So that's kind of in general where infant baptism came from. That's the source of it was just to try and help to deal with original sin and parents to deal with what happens when my baby dies. There is no clear example of infant baptism in the New Testament. A lot of them would say, well, Jesus said, don't keep the children from coming to me. There's nothing about baptism in that entire passage. And so what we call believer's baptism, what we practice here at the church, fits the best meaning of the word baptism. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. He says, or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. So it's simple. For us, it is symbolic of the transformation that you declare that God has brought into your life because of your faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross, his walking out of the grave, his ascending to the Father, and the coming indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things has passed away, and see, the new has come. Now, before I delve into this a little deeper, let me just make this next point as well. We reject that regeneration, being transformed, being made new, takes place after one is baptized. We do not believe baptism has any way to save you, which is what many believe. We believe that you come to faith in Christ, you believe, are transformed, and in response to that, you get baptized. That's what we believe. That's what we practice as a church family. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for you are saved by grace through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one could boast. That's the what. That's what baptism is. That's a simple, guys, I got books this thick on the subject of baptism. I just gave you all of those in about like that. That's essential, the essence of what we mean by baptism. Now, let's talk about the why. Isn't why more fun than the what? Say yes. Come on. Humor me here, guys. Amen. Baptism's a celebration. That's why we love doing them. First thing, we want to be like Jesus. Why should I be baptized? Because you want to be like Jesus. If you say you're a follower of Jesus, then you want to be like Jesus. That's what Romans 8, 28 through 30 tells us. It says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. The goal of becoming a follower of Jesus is to be like Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Jesus got dunked. So I ask you again, my friend, if you say you're a follower of Jesus, why haven't you been baptized? That's what followers of Jesus do. Number two, we want to be what let the world know that we are followers of Jesus who have been made new. Matthew 10:32 says, therefore, everyone who will acknowledge me before others, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. This goes back to what I talked about a few minutes ago when we talked about for a long time in Baptist, if you grew up in any amount of any Baptist churches or a lot of churches, they do these things called, we call them altar calls. And the preacher would come up and he would do the invitation, kind of what we do at the end of this service, and say, if you want to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, you need to come forward and you recognize and all that stuff. And back in the old days, you'd come forward and you'd meet with the pastor, and then all of a sudden the pastor would turn around and say, this is so-and-so, and they've come to join our church and want to be baptized for their faith in Jesus Christ. It's almost like an immediate business meeting takes place to initiate them into the family. And for a lot of people, and this is why Cyprian went to, and for a lot of parents whose kids have gone wayward, we'll say it that way, what they hold on to is that their kid walked an aisle, and that was their public confession of faith. Now, walking an aisle is not the biblical expression of your public confession of faith. What is it in the Bible that says that I am a follower of Jesus to the world around us? It is what we do in there, baptism. You hear the word, you respond to the gospel, you get baptized. Doesn't mean the altar calls are unimportant, and that doesn't save you either, because there's been a lot of people who've been dunked in the years of the church who had no fruit or evidence of transformation after they did it. They just did it because somebody told them they were supposed to do it without even understanding the implications. And that's not right either. So we want to be like Jesus. We want to confess Jesus as Lord. So for those who've never been baptized, that's your public confession of faith. And we should follow accordingly. Number two, we love Jesus. Yeah. Or number three, I should say. As followers of Jesus, we say we love Jesus. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Baptism is a command. 1 John 5, beginning in verse 1. John says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him. This is how we know that we have God, we love God's children, when we love God and obey his commands. For this is what love for God is, to keep his commands. And his commands are not a burden, because everyone who has been born of God conquers the world. This is the victory that conquered the world, our faith. We love Jesus. I mean, that should really just be simple enough, right? We love Jesus. And so as we walk through this and help you to understand why we do this, we believe the Bible teaches it. We believe it teaches immersion. We believe that if you love Jesus, you ought to do it. So I come back to you and I ask you again, if you've never been baptized, why not? Also here in this church, we practice what we would call immediate, like with the Ethiopian official. If somebody comes to faith in Christ and wants to be baptized, we'll check out their conversion, but then we're not going to make you go through a six-week class before you get baptized. Now, some churches do that. That's fine. I don't believe that's biblical. And I don't think it's unimportant not to learn some of those things even afterward. Because here's the deal. The next point we make, as disciples of Jesus, we are all called to be disciplers ourselves. This is what drives me crazy. You guys have heard me say this before. We are called, all of us are called to be disciple makers. And you ought to not say, well, you need to get baptized. You need to go talk to the preacher. Why can't you talk to him about being baptized and what it means and its understanding? I'm not trying to get out of work. I'm just trying to get you to do yours. Oh, man, you want to get baptized? You need to talk to the preacher. They can talk to you. Then the question we have to ask is, why can't they talk to me about baptism? Because it ultimately ends up talking about the gospel. And then we start running into a little bit of our fear and trembles and all those things about sharing our faith. You cannot separate the meaning of baptism from what the gospel does for us. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. You're saying you've been changed, you've been transformed. And this is what we've talked about the last couple of weeks. We're not big into the word transformed anymore. We like to say words like born again and new life and new self, but that means that your life after you come to know Jesus has been radically transformed by the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, so that your life is going to look a lot different than it did before you knew Jesus. And for a lot of us, our lives don't. And we can't talk about transformation because we don't feel like we've been transformed ourselves. Oh, I prayed the prayer. I got dunked. But you didn't know what you did. Or you didn't know what it meant. Now, let me talk about the other question here that we often get, especially in younger services. Will we baptize children here? Yes. My kids were all baptized as children. But mom and dad, we're going to screen them. And guess what? Mom and dad, you're not going to be in the room because your faith doesn't save them. I've had this happen before. I was sharing with about a kid. They said the kid wanted to be baptized. And so I'm talking with the kid, and mom and dad are behind me. And mom is literally over my shoulder. I mean, right behind me. And I'm asking questions, and mom is like, Jesus. Sinner. This is in a Baptist church. So you turn around and say, Mom, you're out of here. A child, and I'm not one to judge the age because only God can do that ultimately, should be able to articulate why they need to be saved. And that's a lot more than Jesus loves me and this I know for the Bible tells me so. And that's what a lot of parents do in their quest to get their kids saved, because we have that mindset, that infant baptism mindset that says, I got to get my kid baptized. And then we have more and more kids coming to me or Pastor Carlos or Pastor Tim saying, we want to be baptized again because we didn't know what we were doing when we did it the first time. And we don't want that. And mom and dad, in your heart of hearts, you don't want that either. Amen? So I get very nervous sometimes about it. I think we should take, will we baptize kids? Yes, but it's not just, oh, because you, mom and dad, tell me they're ready to be baptized. They got to tell me they're ready to be baptized. Or Pastor Tim, or the children's workers, or Carolina, or Pastor Carlos, anybody. They ought to be able to articulate Jesus, why they need Jesus, and all that implies, the gospel. Very important to understand that. A lot of us preachers, we get very nervous about, because the most effective evangelistic tool in our denomination to this day is Vacation Bible School. But man, if I look at the baptism ages in our denomination over the last 60 years, we're moving towards infant baptism. Not sure that's the best way to go. Amen? Amen? Come on. When you got baptized, if you've been baptized, that should be one of the most memorable things that has ever happened in your life. I'm not asking you to remember the exact day. I'm just asking you to remember the event itself. I remember mine. The church I grew up in, we were in a small little building. The sanctuary was about half this room. It was a steel building. We had no baptistry. So when I went forward in my church, you know, we had to do the forward thing, because we had the walk the aisle thing and be baptized. Well, I couldn't get baptized right then and there. I couldn't get baptized in the church at all. So I was baptized at one of our deacons had a swimming pool, and there was about 12 of us that got baptized in his swimming pool. Church is gathered in his backyard, and it was June, because it was hotter than hot. Everything that we do in there, we just did it in a swimming pool. We've baptized in the ocean. A lot of churches now, they have a portable. They'll use feeding troughs. Or some now, same like a lot of prisons, they'll use a 55-gallon drum to just keep the water in there. Guy goes in, whoop, whoop, pops out, keep filling the water. Where you do it isn't as important as how you do it and why you do it. The Bible teaches immersion. Baptizing in the ocean is so much fun. And it usually it's so much fun, and it's cheating. Because if you time the wave right, you really don't have to do a whole lot of bending over. Amen. It's just about being immersed, right? Time that wave right. Time it wrong, and then it's really painful, but that's another conversation for another day. But we love Jesus. If we say we love Jesus, then baptism should not be a problem. I'm always amazed by that. Why haven't you been baptized? I get the fear of water. We've had that here. And some people, when they get baptized, I mean, some of the stories are just really, I tell people all the time when they get baptized, that you got to relax. And people get in the water and they get nervous, and you go to lean them back and they like lock their hips. And you literally see them go with their feet coming up out of the water because they just refuse to. And then some people, you start putting them back and they fight you on it. It's like, you can't fight me on this. Just, I'll bring you up. Promise you, I'm not going to hold you down very long. Come on up. I don't get in with you in ours. In my last church, I had to put on the dumb fishing waders. And I'll be honest with you, I took the guys who was before me, but the pastor before me at this church was like 6'4", so his waders came up to like here on me. And I'm like, they were just totally useless. So I just went to a swimsuit and just changed clothes afterward. But I don't have to get in here. This water is ridiculously, stupidly warm. You'll get in and you don't want to get out. If you're sitting there long enough, you'll fall asleep. It's one of the most memorable things about your faith that you will ever do. And nobody's making fun of you when you do it. In this church, you just hear us. We clap, we applaud, we celebrate. Why? Because it shows that God has changed another life. And, you know, you see us putting the numbers up there. We set a goal this year of 30 baptisms. We have never really, in my time here, haven't set a goal before, and we just decided to felt led to do that this year just to keep it in front of us. Sharing the gospel is important. Baptism is an indicator that we as a church are sharing the gospel and that God is moving among us and in us, and people are responding to it. And so, Lord willing, by the time this day's done, we'll be at 20. And our goal to 30. We're at 18 right now. And I said it in the podcast this week. If somebody asked me how many baptisms we did, because, you know, preachers love to do this stuff. It's like, you know, the most insecure people you meet are pastors. How many did you baptize? I asked you. You know what I always have said? Not enough. That is the only sufficient answer. Not enough. And we celebrate it because that's what God does. Read Luke 15. Heaven celebrates over one sinner who repents. It's the very least we could do if we're going to call ourselves followers of Jesus and do that. We love Jesus. And so we do require people to be dunked. To be a member of this church, you are required to be immersed. If you came from another faith tradition that doesn't practice immersion, we would ask you to be immersed. I've had these discussions. I've had people actually not join and leave the church because they just are so firmly committed in that. And I'm like, more power to you. God love you. There's a church down the street that'll fit that. It just doesn't work here. So to be a member of our church, it's 101 and baptism. We'll baptize you. We've had people who come in, they're like, we've had kids come in, they're visiting their grandparents or whatever, and they're here for the summer, and they start coming to church, and they respond to the gospel through children's ministry, and they want to get baptized here since this is where they got saved. And we'll baptize. They're not going to become members of the church, or they live wherever. If somebody responds in faith and feels called to be baptized, which is what they should do, we'll dunk them. That doesn't mean they're a member of the church. You need 101 and immersion to be a member of the church. Amen? So let me wrap this up real quick. Conclusion is by Mark Dever. He's pastor of Capital Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. He's still there. He's been there for a very long time. Baptism itself is a summary of our faith. Baptism is a confession of sin and a picture of repentance. Baptism is a profession of faith in Christ. It reminds us of Christ's humiliation and death as he identified with sinners and of his resurrection from the dead. Baptism presents a preview of the bodily resurrection, and it portrays the radical nature of conversion. When rightly practiced, it distinguishes believer from unbeliever, the church from the world. That's just in a nutshell. That's why we baptize. It's why, if you've never been baptized, you should be. Some of you would say, I'm too old to get baptized. Wrong! Isaac and Teddy are in their late 60s, early 70s. About a year and a half ago, was it a year? Maybe even 2 years ago now. Gosh, maybe even longer than that. Time flies when you're having fun. We, in the 8:30 service, we baptized a 91-year-old man and a 72-year-old son. Age has nothing to do with it. It's all about faith and response to the gospel. To recognize you're a sinner. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, spiritual separation from God. Hell. We say hell in this church. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Eternal life, heaven. And if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. What does saved mean? Heaven. The Holy Spirit indwells you. You are transformed. You are born again, is what Jesus talked about to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And what is the response to being born again? The response to being born again is to do what Jesus did, because you now love Jesus and you want to be like Jesus. And be like Jesus means I want to be immersed and represent him and say, I was dead, I've been made alive in Christ, and now I'm going to go walk in newness of life. And you dunk yourself. Actually, I dunk you. Or whoever. If you've never done that, why? Now, if you're here today and Jesus isn't Lord of your life, I get it. I don't expect you to get baptized. Why would you? If Jesus isn't Lord and Savior of your life, why in the world would you want to get baptized? You didn't hear a thing I just said today. You can't hear it. Paul says that you can't hear. Your ears haven't been open. Your eyes haven't been open to the truth of the gospel. But if you hear it and understand it and comprehend it and want to respond to it, then God has already spoken to your soul. And you need to do something about it. It doesn't save you. It just says, I'm a follower of Jesus. Why not? Why not? They're going to put a barcode. I say barcode. It's a QR code. I kept saying barcode in the last service, Tim. It's a QR code. And y'all have the phones in this room. I know y'all do. If you'll scan that QR code and you have never been baptized, scan that and let us know. And you know what? I told you we believe in the immediacy of baptism. We'll baptize you tonight at Koinonia night. It's that simple. The water's already in there. It's already circulating, already about 105 degrees. Don't get excited. All you got to do is bring a pair of shorts and a shirt. Unless you want a Spanish shirt. We're out of the English shirts. We just saw that the other day. And this church, as in a church family, old, young, brown, white, English, Spanish, whatever, we will all rejoice and celebrate what God has done in your life. Why? Because that's what they do in heaven, and church is practice for heaven. Amen? Amen? So scan that. Come on up, Tim. Scan the QR code. Or talk to Pastor Carlos. He's back there. You can talk to Pastor Tim when he's done. I'll be around as well. Don't put this off anymore. Confess who is your Savior and who's your Lord. It's that simple. Let's all stand. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father God, we come before you now. We're thankful, mostly for the gospel. The good news that Jesus came to save sinners like me. Lord, our response to that, according to your word, is very simple. Admit we're sinners. believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins in our place. Embrace him as Lord and Savior of our life. And we're not going to understand all that today. And then commit our life to the new life that you have brought into us. And we start that by doing what Jesus did and be baptized. Lord, I pray that there's somebody, several people in this room who've never done that before, who respond to the call that you've placed on their life today to go see Pastor Carlos or see me or see somebody and say, hey, I want to do that tonight. And let us as a church family celebrate what they're doing in their lives and what you're doing in their lives. Lord, we're thankful for this day. May it be a blessing not only today, but also tonight as we gather together and worship together as one church family. And for everybody in this room, we'll come on back, enjoy our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing.